Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Somebody asked years ago, said, why don't you have a program for your service? I'm not kicking anybody who does have a program, but I'm a little afraid of them. I'm afraid if we had a program, we would be so worried we had a schedule to keep that this wouldn't be possible. I know there are as many different kind of churches in our country as there are opinions about the Bible and about the Lord. But I like to think that we've got a church where anybody can come. No matter what their background or their situation. And they've got a place where they're welcome. Some churches, if you're not dressed a certain way, you're not welcome. Some, that depends on what kind of car you drive and your social status. I'm glad it doesn't matter here whether you're a millionaire or you bought your groceries with food stamps last night. Amen. God is no respecter of persons. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. And I'll try not to keep you too long. I tell you like Liz Taylor told her first husband, I won't keep you long. Amen?
Amen. Or the third or the fourth. Or, yeah, amen. Turn me up there just a little bit if you would, Brother James. I like the way Brother Tony Hudson said. He said, this sermon will be like a fat boy crawling through a barbed wire fence. Just about 3 points and I'll be through. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 17 this morning. How many of you, without even thinking about it, know what 1 Samuel 17 is about? Amen. Come on, raise your hand if you do. 1 Samuel chapter number 17, that's the story of David and Goliath. Now, how many people know about David and Goliath? That's probably just about everybody. There's several things in the Bible that if you mention to folks that, you know, whether they were raised in church or not, they've heard of certain, the Ten Commandments, Moses and the Ten Commandments. Just about everybody's heard about that. The resurrection of the Lord, they've heard about that. And David and Goliath, they've heard about that. The flood, Noah and his ark, you know. There's several things, but David and Goliath is a story, and it's not just a story, it's true, that never grows old to me. In 1 Samuel chapter number 17, we've got that great story about a young shepherd boy who faces a giant in his life. Amen? Yeah, amen. Several years ago, Kirk Cameron, the Hollywood actor, who is a devout Bible-believing Christian, came out with the movie. How many of you remember the movie Facing the Giant? Yeah. Facing the Giant. What a movie, boy, and what some great truths in that movie. They said that people went to see that movie and were literally saved, trusted Christ as their Savior from watching that film. Some people want to criticize and scoff at that. I say more power to you. When are you going to make another one? Amen? I thought it was a great thing. But in that movie, there were several people facing different giants in their life. Amen. The one guy, it's been a long time since I saw it, but the one guy, he and his wife couldn't have a baby. Is that right? And that was a giant in their life. It may have been the same guy, but there was a gap or a broken relationship between a father and a son. Is that right? There was a young football team facing a giant in a championship game. There was a young boy whose daddy was in a wheelchair. I'm trying to remember all the different scenarios in that movie, but everybody had their own problem. Now stay with me. We're going to read some scripture in a minute. I don't care who you are or where you come from. You came in here this morning with your own set of problems. Yeah. Amen? Did you know everybody thinks their problem's worse than everybody else's? Yeah. You know why you feel that way? Because you're not dealing with everybody else's, you're dealing with yours. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I forgot what you call those things on the side of your fingernail. What you call hangnail? Is that what that is? Ripped. I pulled that thing off last night. It felt like it came all the way up to my elbow. Yeah. Now that's a hangnail. That ain't a big deal, is it? It is for me. I thought I was dying. I mean, I started to call 911. Amen. I mean, boy, that'd hurt like a devil. You think, oh, you sissy? You didn't have it. I did. Amen? Brother Freddie said, you sissy. I'm serious, man. I know. Sometimes we have little problems, but they're our problem. Amen. They're our problem. And in the story, in the movie, everybody had different sets of problems. Some huge problems, some not so huge, but they were problems that they had to face. Now, I want you to look at 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I'm going to look at a couple of verses of Scripture and give you a simple thought this morning. In verse number 11, now, wait a minute, let me just back up so I don't have to read the whole chapter. In this story, we have, I'm going to give you the characters of the story. We have a king. We have an army. We have a king who is in control and in rule over this great army. Is that right? We have a giant. He's 9 feet something inches tall. Is that about right? He's pushing 10 foot tall. That's a big dude. Amen? I mean, Jason, he'd make you look like a midget wrestler. Amen? Big guy. He's a big guy. He's not just a giant, but he's a champion. In other words, he's not just a big old dude. He's a big old dude who has proved himself in battle. Amen? They weren't scared of him just because he was big. They were afraid of him because of his record. He was a champion. That means nobody has ever beaten him. Is that right? So in our story, we've got a king, we've got an army, we've got a giant. The giant is defying the army of Israel. He's standing in this valley, and he's running their God in the ground. Let's just put it this way. He's taken the name of their Lord and their God in vain. Now, when we were teenagers, if you wanted to get a fight started, say something about my mama. Amen? I mean, just say something about my mama. They say, your mama's fat and ugly. Whack! The fight is on. Amen? Is that right? I remember there was a boy in high school, I won't say his name, but a boy I went to school with, and it was junior high, I believe it was, and he started, and he was raised in a holiness church. Holiness church, women wear their hair up, you know, and no makeup and all that. And he saw my mama one day in a pair of slacks or pants. And he come to school, and he looked me dead in my eye and said, your mama is a, I'll try to choose a nice word, said your mama's a streetwalker because she wears pants. Little did he know that that was cause for a broken nose. I didn't ask questions. I didn't push. I didn't shove. Them was fighting words. Amen. You said something about my mama, and I'm fixing to knock your teeth down your throat. Now, that's the way the children of Israel were. You go to bad-mouthing our God, you got a fight on your hands. Is that right? We're talking about the God who's delivered us again and again and again. The God who's done great works and great wonders in our life. We will not stand around and let you badmouth our God. So we have a king. We have an army. We have a giant. The giant is badmouthing their God, but because of the giant's reputation, the army is afraid. The king is afraid. But then, the last character I want to mention in our story is a little shepherd boy named David. David was not there for the battle. David was there to bring lunch to his brothers who were supposed to be fighting the battle. Look at 1 Samuel. That's where we are in our story. David is driving up in his chariot. He's coming up on the scene of what I just laid out for you. In verse number 11, the Bible said, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, talking about Goliath, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. When they heard what the giant had to say, how did it affect them? Come on, talk to me. They got scared, is that right? They were afraid. The king was afraid. The greatest army on the face of the earth was afraid. Why were they afraid? Now, y'all stay with me. They were afraid because of the giant's reputation. He had a reputation that he had never been beaten, Brother Charles. Should they have been afraid? Let's think about it a minute. They've got a giant who's never been beaten. In our lives, we face some giants that society would say, you cannot win. You cannot win. Society said to Ashley Hofford, you have cancer in your brain, you have cancer in your lungs, you have cancer in your liver, you have cancer in your throat, you've got cancer from head and from head to toe. Buy you a good video camera, make as many memories as you can for your little boy while we pump you full of morphine till you die. Does that sum it up close? You can use that when you speak to ladies, I don't care. Listen to me carefully. That's what the doctor said. That's what the Mayo Clinic said. That's what Johns Hopkins said. That's what the greatest medical minds on the face of this earth, they said, Miss Hofford, you are facing a giant that you cannot beat. You go through a divorce. Society says you cannot win. Your life's a wreck. It'll never be back to normal again. Now, I'm preaching where we live. Yeah. Not some pie in the sky. I'm preaching to real people with real trouble, real problems, real giants in their life. I was raised in a divorced home. Single parent. Mama working two jobs, three if she could get them. You know what society said? Poor, poor, pitiful kid. Never make it, never amount to anything. A giant. Let's bring it on down a little bit. Brother Jason Crow, I don't know how long ago it's been, and I don't want to embarrass him or air his dirty laundry, but he is a meth addict. Methamphetamines, the meanest drug known to man. Methamphetamines, prescription drug, two greatest killers in our country. Amen. You know what they say? You cannot kick meth. Was it a giant? Amen. Talk to me, son. Was it a giant? When you got a giant and when you have an impossible enemy facing you at your door, what you need, listen to me carefully, is a proven time and time and time again giant killer. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Saul and the great army, the ones who's supposed to have all the ability, they heard the words of the giant and were dismayed. That means they were shook up and they were afraid. I want you to jump over with me to verse number 22. Verse number 22. The Bible said, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the what? Say it with me. He spake according to what? The same words, watch this, and David heard them. Hang on. I'll get you out of here shortly. You've got to get this. Saul, the king. The king who in a few minutes is going to give his sword and his armor to this little boy. But this little boy is too small to even carry his sword or his armor. The king and the great army of Israel, who had beat the Philistines, Brother Charles, time and time and time and time again. They should have said, we've whooped you before, we will whip you again. And yet they are in fear and trembling at what they heard. Now what did David hear, the little shepherd boy? He heard the exact same thing that Saul and the armies of God heard. The exact words. Stay with me. Those words that made them tremble in fear made David mad and excited. Are you listening? That giant that scared the flip out of those who should be able. Scared them to death. Those who had the wisdom, those who had the knowledge, those who had the training, those who had the equipment, those who had the ability are running scared and hiding like little schoolgirls. David, who has nothing, He's never been in the army. He's never been through the training. He doesn't have a weapon. He's got a little bag, and he's going to put five little rocks in it, and he's got a slingshot, Brother Charles.
Amen.
But he's got more than that.
Yes, sir.
He's got more than that.
Yes, sir, brother.
He's got more than that. I'm going to show you the difference in how we face our giants. Now, you stay with me. You're going to face them. You know what we want to do? You know what the flesh says? Run. Run. Run from the relationship. Run from the circumstance. Just run. Hey, it's going to catch you sooner or later.
Amen.
You listen to me carefully. Sooner or later, you're going to have to deal with it. We want to push it up under the rug and say, it'll just go away. No, it'll fester and it'll get worse. Some of y'all got family problems. I'm not just talking about husband and wife. I'm talking about in-laws and whatever, aunts, uncles, and people who can't get along. Is that right?
Amen.
Family problem. Them problems ain't getting better all by themselves.
Right.
You're going to have to look them eyeball to eyeball.
Amen.
Amen. Sooner or later, you're going to have to deal with it.
That's right. Amen.
You say, well, I'm getting by okay like I am right now. You're lying through your teeth.
Yeah.
You're not. It's festering on the inside of you.
Amen.
You're going to have to face that giant.
Great,
problem is, you're afraid.
Amen.
And if you're facing that giant all by yourself, you've got reason to be afraid.
That's right,
amen.
Amen. Amen, bro.
Some of you even got a past you need to deal with.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you even got a present you need to deal with.
Yeah. Amen.
Come on.
Yeah. Great, bro.
Listen to me. Before you can go any further, spiritually, in your life, you're going to have to deal with what you think you've left behind.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Does it sound familiar?
Yeah. Amen.
I've preached from this thought before, but it ain't been lately. You listen to me carefully. You will have to face it.
Come on.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Moses killed a man. Again. Moses killed a man. He killed an Egyptian.
Yes, he did.
Took off running. Hid on the backside of the desert for 40 years. 40 years. I've got away with this. I'm never going to have to deal with this again. 40 years. It's over. One day he's walking down the road and he sees this bush on fire, and God starts speaking to him from that burning bush. Guess where God tells him to go? Right back to Egypt, where he's a fugitive. What are you saying, preacher? You will face that giant. Amen. Whether it be a relationship, whether it be a set of circumstances, or whether it be some sin in your life. You are going to have to deal with that thing. Listen, man. What's his name? Goliath. Ain't going nowhere.
Amen.
He ain't going nowhere. He ain't moving.
Yeah, bro.
He stood down there day and night. Come on.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
Big army of God, what you got? Come on. I dare you. He wasn't going nowhere. As long as you're afraid, as long as you're cowing down, and as long as you're afraid to face your enemy, he's not moving.
Amen.
The devil get a stronghold in your life.
Amen, preacher.
And as long as you live defeated,
come on,
he's not going to let go.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. He is just not going to let go.
Amen.
You're going to have to deal with him.
Amen.
Let me show you the difference. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Let me show you something. Look at it very carefully. I want you to go back to chapter number 16. I wrote this reference down. I ain't sure where I... Chapter 16, look at verse 14. Now Saul is the king. Y'all remember this. Saul is the king who is afraid to lead his army. You can't tell me an army can't beat one giant. Amen? There's got to be a mental thing going on here. Common sense would tell you. Are you listening? Hey, man, I wasn't afraid of big boys when I was in high school. As long as I had 7 or 8 with me. Amen. Y'all all right? But boy, facing them by yourself, that's a different story. Amen. I mean, I gotta go up against somebody like Jason Crow. That's a big old dude, man. But I believe me and Jason, Brother Freddie, and Brother Todd, and Levi, and David Hofford, he ain't got a prayer. We'll have that guy in such a wedgie like he ain't never seen all his life. Amen. Here's the children of Israel. Common sense would tell you, let's just run him, man. Let's take him out. But it's a mental thing. The devil says, this is going to kill you. You'll never recover from this. You're down. You're never getting back up. You're defeated. Why don't you just quit now? Does he not tell you that? Why don't you just throw up your hands and give up on the whole situation? Quit praying for that kid. He ain't going to change. Quit praying for that loved one who has a serious addiction. They ain't never going to get no better. You better be careful who you're listening to this morning. Show you the difference in David and Saul. Look at verse 16. Chapter 16 and verse number, did I say it? 14. The Bible said, but the Spirit of the Lord, watch this, say the next word with me. Departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Back up one verse. The Bible said, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon who?
David.
Upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Here's the difference. Saul's operating in the flesh. David's operating in the Spirit. Saul's facing a giant in the flesh. David is facing a giant in the Spirit. If you'll notice, if you'll read the story, David didn't run down there and say, okay, big boy, bring it on. I killed a lion. I killed a bear. You ain't no problem. I'm fixing to whip your rear end. That ain't what he said. You know what he told him? Something akin to this, Brother Freddie. This day, my God will deliver you into my hand. Is that what he said? David did not say, I'm going to beat you. David did not say, I can do this. David did not say, I've whipped bigger than you. David did not go in with a braggadocious attitude. Amen. David went in humble and said, today, big boy, you may be bigger than me. You may be bigger than the armies of God. You may be bigger than the King of God, but you're not bigger than God. Today, at the hand of God, you're going down. Amen. It's not who's physically in the battle. It's who's spiritually fighting the battle.
Amen. Amen, bro.
Yes, sir.
Brother Earl Hughes, the old mountain preacher who's in a nursing home now, he gave the greatest analogy or illustration I've ever heard out of this story in my life. He said David had the little rock in his sling, and he wound it round and round and round and round, and he let it go, and it hit Goliath in the forehead.
Yeah.
Now, y'all heard this. I know y'all heard it, but I love telling it.
Yeah.
What's the word I'm hunting? Law of physics, is that right? Law of physics would tell you, if I hit this book from this direction, which way's the book going? Talk to me. Anybody know which way Saul went? David hit him right between the eyes. He fell that way. Read it. He fell on his face. He didn't fall backwards. You hit me in the head with a rock, I'm going that way.
Come on,
bro. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Earl said while David was winding his sling from the front side, God was drawing back from the back side. And when David let his faith go and David let his rock fly, as a rock struck his forehead, God slapped Goliath in the back of the head. Amen. Amen.
Yes,
you know what you need this morning? You need God to slap your giant in the back of the head. You need God to slap what's bothering you in the back of the head. You need God to slap the cancer in the back of the head. You need God to slap the relationship in the back of the head. You need God to slap, hey, the addiction in the back of the head. You need God to slap the wayward teenager in the back of the head. We need God-sized help this morning. Amen. We need a giant killer on the scene. What scared the fool out of Saul and his men? The great army fired little David up. Amen. Amen. When have you got fired up about your problems? Excited about your problems? Huh? When have you looked that checkbook in the eye and said, come on, bless God, bring it on. I got a God and I talk to Him. I talk to Him this morning. Regardless of what your bottom line says, my God said everything's going to be all right. Y'all listening? You need some help this morning. How many of you be honest and say, boy, I'm tired. You ain't got to raise your hand. I'm tired. It just seems like a fight and a fight and a fight and a fight. Wouldn't it be better if you just let somebody else do the swinging for a while? And you just stand back and shout the victory, hallelujah. Amen. Hey, man.
Yes, sir, bro.
How much energy do you think that took? It took more energy to chop his head off than it did to let go of that rock.
Amen.
Sir. When are you going to get to the place you just let go of the rock?
Yeah.
Trust God with your life.
Yeah.
I've seen this man sitting right here on the front row go through more and more. His name is Shane Job Reese. I mean, one thing after the other. I mean, chop your leg off. Okay, Lord. That should be all he'll ever have to deal with, right? No, it's just on and on and on and on. We hadn't watched one giant fall. We've been able to see multiple giants fall.
Amen.
Another one on the way.
Yeah.
He just have to go in, have his lungs operated on now. There he sits on the front row. When they were singing that song this morning, I've been through enough.
Yes, sir, brother. Amen.
I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough
for
me. You know who's shouting louder than anybody? That man right there. Why? He's seen some giants go down.
Amen.
18 years of this, we've seen some giants go down.
Amen.
Quit wallowing in your jobless situation. And get excited about the job application you're going to fill out tomorrow. Amen. Quit running around whining. Why don't you just quit whining? Well, I ain't got no job and the economy's bad. It's bad on everybody. It's tough all the way around. You construction guys, Brother Freddie, you got to get excited about the next bid. This could be the one. This could be the one. I've been praying about a bid. I don't know, tell too much of his business, but I've been praying about a bid that he put in for over a month.
Amen.
You say, what if it don't happen? You're going to get discouraged? No, I'm going to pray about the next one.
Amen.
Why? Everyone's one more closer.
Yeah,
but you don't understand. I filled out 150 job applications. Well, what if it's number 151 that's going to get the job done?
Amen.
Quit looking at the mess.
Yeah, bro.
Look at the master.
Amen.
I promise you, whatever your situation is this morning, whether it's relationship, whether it's spiritual, which, by the way, that relationship problem is probably spiritual too. Whether it's children problems, family problems, financial problems, or even a sin problem, I can show you somebody probably right here in this room. Who's seen the giant go down?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
The same one you're dealing with.
Amen, bro.
You know, sometimes we get to thinking our problem, ain't nobody ever been through what I'm going through. Oh, yeah, they have.
Yes, sir. Yes,
right. I promise you, I can show them to you in this room.
Yes, brother.
What are you saying, preacher? There's hope.
That's right. Amen.
There's hope.
Amen, brother.
There's people in this room, listen to me, moms and dads. There's people in this room who have fought the giant of adultery. And one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, preacher.
There's ladies in this room this morning who have fought the giant of molestation and have victory.
Come on, preacher. Amen. Amen.
There's men in this room this morning who have fought the giant of the unbeatable methadone and methamphetamine.
Yeah, brother. Yeah. Amen, preacher.
And they've got the victory.
Yeah.
You say, how do you know he's really clean? You don't see fat people on meth.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't that right, brother?
Amen. That's right.
Now, I know y'all on that Biggest Loser thing, but you start losing too much, we're going to get worried. Amen. I'm telling you, whatever the case may be, anything from cancer from head to toe to abuse to you name it, we've got it in this room. I don't know how many couples came to this church, not even living together, separated when they walked in the door.
Yeah.
You know what they said? We're going to give this one more shot.
Come on, preacher.
If that preacher ain't got something for us this morning,
yeah,
we are done.
Yeah. Come on, preacher. Amen, brother.
Amen.
I could name you a bunch of them that's sitting right here this morning.
Yeah.
We okay?
Yeah.
I quit. Y'all get me a song. I'm done.
That's good,
normally, I just preach salvation on Sunday morning. I don't know why God put this on my heart. I ain't got a clue. But I sat there in my office this morning. Brother Dwayne said, was standing there talking to me. He said, Brother, you need me to shut this door? I said, if you don't mind. And I looked over him notes, and I said, God, I ain't got a clue who's coming in that door this morning. Lord, I don't know what they're dealing with, and I ain't got a clue why you would send them to me. But God, I need you to put something in my mouth.
Yes, bro.
God, give me a word that'll help them.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
Do you know how hard it is to help people when you don't know what they're dealing with?
Yeah. Amen, preacher.
Do you know how simple it really is just to trust God because He knows?
Yeah.
Whatever your giant is this morning, it's your giant. It's not mine, it's not Brother Charles, not Brother Freddy's, it's your giant. I wish I could face some of them for you, but I can't. It's personal. It's between you and God and the giant. The question is, will you trust God to help you? I believe with all my heart, Brother Shane, when David walked off in that valley, I believe he was praying something like this. Lord, you heard what I just said. God, I'm not out on a limb alone.
Yeah.
I brung you with me.
Yeah. Amen.
I know that ain't good English. That's what he said.
Yes, sir.
God, if I go down, it's not little David's reputation. Everybody up there on the ridge, they're taking bets right now.
Yeah. Amen.
I ain't got a prayer.
Yeah.
I ain't even got no armor. I ain't got a sword. He's five times my size. I have no ability. But God, I told him I had you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's putting it right back in the Lord's lap, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir, brother.
Well, what an attitude. Well, if we could face all the giants in our life with that attitude.
Amen.
Lord, I'm walking out here by faith.
Yes, sir.
But I'm taking you with me.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Amen.
I remember moving from Dallas. God put it on my heart, spoke to my heart, said we were to move to this location. All I could see was the debt. That's all I could see. People in this community, people in three counties, talked about me like I was a fool. You know what? Brother Freddie, I believed them. I'd lay in my bed and cry and say, God, they're right. I'm making the biggest mistake I've ever made in my life. I was looking at the debt. I wasn't looking at the God. If he said doer, mark her down, you can do it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's stand to our feet all over the houses. Listen carefully. Heads bowed and eyes closed. These folks already coming to the altar this morning. Help yourself. Ain't nobody looking around. I wonder if there'd be one here this morning.
Say, preacher, I'm facing a giant. Don't nobody have to know what it is, just that I'm facing a giant. And I've wondered over and over and over, will I come through this with my head up? Preacher, pray for me that I trust God and realize that He's big enough to take down anything that's troubling my life. Pray for me. Would you just slip up your hand? Hands all over this building. Thank you. And I'm going to do just that. I'm just going to pray for you. I wonder if there's one here this morning. Thank you, sir. God bless your heart. I wonder if there's one here this morning. Say, preacher, I'm not sure. Listen, I know it wasn't a salvation message, but I'm not sure if I died right now, heaven would be my home. I believe before I can deal with any of those problems in my life, I got to get that settled first. I got to get that situation taken care of. I don't want to die and go to hell. If you can really know that heaven will be your home when you die, I'd like to get that settled in my heart. Please pray for me. If you just slip up your hand, I won't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. God bless your heart, ma'am. God bless you. God bless your heart. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now, heaven would be my home. Please pray for me. Anybody? Let's pray together, Father, as we come to you this morning. Father, we thank you. We praise you and we give you glory for everything you do. Lord, personally this morning, I want to say thank you for all the dead giants laying in my field of life. Lord, giants that we faced and giants that we've defeated, but only with the help and the grace of God. Lord, I don't know who this message was specifically for. Might have been several, but God, you know. I pray you'd help them this morning. You saw the hands that were raised. You know every heart. Lord, there's a young man raised his hand this morning. So dear to my heart, he'll never know. Lord, I hope and pray you'd help him to get that settled today. There's a young lady, God, who raised her hand, not sure where she'll spend eternity when she dies. Father, help her with that right here today. Don't let them leave unsure and unsettled about their soul. God, have your way, and we'll thank you, and we'll praise you. In Jesus' dear name, I pray. Amen.